And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, listen, we're about to bring on a guest. I'm pretty stoked about this. This topic, by the way, is near and dear to my heart. I mean, so with combat tours under my belt, time as an Army Ranger, and the fact that I've got the Civilian Marksmanship Program as one of the sponsors of the show coming up here very soon, you're not going to find a more gun-friendly radio show. I'm just going to be honest with you. And yet, if you watch what's happening in the news, even as recently as this weekend, we are watching an epic level of attack upon our Second Amendment privileges, our rights, actually. The Biden administration's all about the red flag laws, going to spend hundreds of millions of your tax dollars to try and impede your constitutional rights. Well, just as recently as even this morning, I was able to connect with a guy named Mark Oliva. Mark Oliva is the director of public affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Y'all, that the NSSF, that is the trade association for the firearms industry. Very cool, though, and I want to thank him for his service. Mark Oliva spent 25 years in the Marine Corps before he went to work with the Shooting Sports Foundation and retired as a master gunnery sergeant, tours in Okinawa with the Stars and Stripes. He also went to Gitmo, spent time in Haiti out in the Mediterranean. He also spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan and was an advisor to the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Wounded Warriors. All that to say, he's got street cred with me. Semper Fi. Gunny Oliva, how you doing?
Phil, I appreciate you having me on. It's quite a privilege for me to be able to talk to you and to your listeners today.
Well, thank you very much. Listen, I want to jump right to it. Red flag laws, which to me is one of the sneakiest ways I've ever heard of to try and curtail Second Amendment rights. But tell us about this most recent attempt.
Yeah, so the vice president went down to Florida and toured Parkland weekend, and there she announced that there's going to be a new Department of Justice initiative that's going to make it pretty much one-stop shopping for the states to reach back to the federal government to learn how they can implement their own red flag laws. Now, it's important for people to understand, 19 of the states and the District of Columbia have some type of red flag law, but none of these laws have any kind of due process rights protections written into them. That means someone could put a red flag order on you, and you would not have the ability to go stand in front of a judge and refute the evidence that's being presented to get that red flag on you. So that means they'll come take your guns, take everything away from you, take away your rights, your constitutionally protected rights, and you would not have the ability to have any kind of redress in front of a judge. That is an anathema to how we have our system of government, that you have the ability to be able to protect yourself in front of a judge, to be able to refute any evidence, to be able to stand up for yourself. And none of that exists in any of these laws. And that's a serious concern of ours.
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious concern of mine, absolutely. And as a practicing attorney myself, I can just tell you, I have seen the worst of what people will try to do to each other. I mean, families that will lie about each other to get mama's inheritance, or, you know, someone is mad because the divorce custody proceedings didn't go the way they thought. That I can see red flags, so to speak, being thrown out there as a punitive measure or as a get back or a retribution. And next thing you know, someone is having their Second Amendment rights curtailed because someone else submitted something that the government called a red flag.
You're absolutely right, Phil. Take to this kind of case in point of an instance that could occur. You have an abusive boyfriend who knows that his girlfriend, or soon-to-be ex-girlfriend, is going to have a gun, or she has a gun, and he wants to be able to still control and manipulate her. So he calls in a red flag, says she's a danger to herself, she's suicidal, or she's been threatening others with that gun, you need to get that gun away from her. So that means the state authorities would be able to go in and snatch those guns from her. She has no way of being able to protect herself now from that abusive and manipulative ex-boyfriend. And that's a serious concern for her safety. She has no ability to go stand in front of that judge if there's no due process rights protected in those kind of laws. And none of those exist. So before we start talking about layering on any more red flags, we need to address this issue of due process rights. That is your right. And if you're going to be charged with a DUI tonight, Bill, you're going to have the ability to stand in front of a judge within probably about 24 hours to refute any evidence that that officer is going to bring in front of you. That's your right. But yet we're taking away that right from law-abiding citizens simply because they own a gun.
on something that is actually covered by the Constitution. I'll be honest with you, and I don't know how this is going to work, but if there's a directory out there, if the government is building basically the red, what'd you call it, the one-stop shop for everything red flag, if they're building this database like this, first of all, I get very leery of the government having lists of citizens and their gun ownership. But then I would have to also say, this is something that could wind up damaging your ability to get a job, to hold a security clearance, potentially even to get credit for a loan. And who knows whether or not this could be part of a background check for a job. It's just unreal to me what they're doing.
It is. It's pretty scary. It's pretty Orwellian. For those who haven't been following it, I think they should be aware of it. And I think what the irony of this whole thing is that the vice president went down to Parkland High School to announce this new initiative by the DOJ. And at Parkland High School, the FBI admitted that on two different occasions, they were warned by that murderer in that instance, and they failed to act. They admitted they failed to act when they could have intervened and prevented those murders of those students and those adults in that high school. That's on top of the 40-plus other incidents where state, local, county authorities could have all stepped in to prevent him from committing those murders. We just learned that the murderer up in Maine, in Lewiston, Maine, had been subject to what they call a yellow flag order up there, very similar to a red flag order. And the commission just came back with the report and said it was the county sheriffs who failed to act with the authority that they had to prevent that and failed to follow up with the family to make sure that that murderer was getting the care that he needed so he didn't become a danger to society. So we see that even states that have these type of laws, that the authorities are failing to act upon them and failing to intervene when they're supposed to. So, again, it calls into question, why are we having these laws that are infringing on your rights and on my rights if the authorities aren't using them to protect the rest of us? Well, why are we taking away the ability for people to protect themselves?
Yeah. Well, I also look at it, too. And Mark, I got to be honest. Every once in a while, I feel like they don't do their homework. Just every once in a while. But, for instance, Vice President Harris, she goes down, like you said, to Parkland, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. She does this thing where they're going to put three quarters of a billion tax dollars into this resourcing. And then at the same time, she doesn't even bother to mention that the state from which she hails, California, while she was attorney general and or senator out there, they adopted a red flag law in 2014, and yet they have one of the highest active shooter rates in the nation. So what good is it going to do except curtail the rights of law-abiding citizens?
Now, I think it goes back to what you said at the beginning of this, is what you're seeing now from the Biden administration, from both Vice President Harris and from President Biden, is a whole-of-government approach to attacking your Second Amendment rights and attacking the fire ministry, which provides you the means to exercise those rights. I don't think it should be lost on anyone that in 2019, when President Biden took the stage to debate among all the other Democrat candidates for the nomination for the White House, one of the first things he said was that firearm manufacturers are the enemy. Not the NRA, firearm manufacturers. That's very telling for the industry that provides you the means to exercise your Second Amendment rights, provides law enforcement the means that they need to keep your community safe, and provides our military the means to take care of our nation and keep that safe from foreign invaders. Very concerning when the president of the United States calls our industry the enemy.
Yeah, and you do, by the way, represent the – you are the trade association, if I'm not mistaken, right, in SSFF?
Yeah, we are. We represent all your major firearm and ammunition manufacturers. And those are the same people providing you the handguns that you're protecting yourself with in your home, the rifles and the shotguns that you go hunting with, and recreational shooting with target and practice out there, as well as those same companies are providing the military the firearms that we need to keep our nation safe. So it is really scary when you see this attempt by this administration to not just denigrate your rights, but denigrate the entire industry. And if they can knock out the industry, they can take away your right. You have no way of redressing that.
Well, let me ask you something, Mark. One of the things I did hear through someone who is actually affiliated with the NRA, she said that the National Shooting Sports Foundation, that you guys have actually decided to really engage the process of elected officials who will support the Second Amendment. And so you've actually formed a new PAC for that very purpose. So what's the deal there? Who are you, the state or the federal or what?
Yeah, so for many years we had our own PAC within the trade associations, and it was limited to those people who were just in the industry. But just this past year, we saw that there's going to be a need for us to be able to reach out and represent not just industry members. So we formed a now super PAC called the Protect Liberty PAC, Political Action Committee. And that Protect Liberty PAC is so we can elect people in office, whether that be at the state level, at the federal level, and everywhere in between, to make sure that they're representing your interests, to make sure that they're carrying forward what you believe are your conservative values. That all these other issues that we see that are dovetailing along with people who are also attacking your Second Amendment rights, they're also attacking some of the foundations of what it means to be an American.
Oh, yeah.
And we think that needs to be represented. Your voice needs to be represented. So we have formed the Protect Liberty PAC so people can make their voice be heard. And we can take donations now no longer just from people within the industry, but people from outside of the industry. There's no limit on what can be made. There's no minimum that can be made to that donation. We want to represent everybody's interests, especially when it comes to your Second Amendment rights.
Well, I think that's huge, you know, and there are times when PACs get a bad name, but what people don't realize is for everything that you don't like about PACs, there's going to be one you do like, and this sounds like one that I would. And having been in elected office myself before, I just know for a fact that the conservative associations have got to do exactly what you're doing, which is band together and find the means to help fund the campaigns of those who will support the right causes and the right principles, and for that matter, our constitutional rights in general. So, well, listen, man. So where do you see all this going? Going back to that red flag law, where do you see all this going right now? Is that National Resource Center going to be challenged in court? Is the NSSF going to do something about it? What do you think?
I'm not sure there's much of an avenue to challenge in court. It's a DOJ initiative. I think that the easiest means to get at this is to go back to Congress and limit the ability for the federal government to exercise your tax dollars to be able to fund this. So if we can convince Congress that they need to line out any kind of funding for this kind of center, then I think that's the easiest way we keep from getting some of these bad red flag laws replicated in other states. We need to start turning back the rest of those laws and we'll get them fixed so that way we have to make sure that there's protections for your due process rights. Listen, none of us in the industry want someone who shouldn't have a gun to have one. Someone who's a prohibited individual because they've been, you know, mentally adjudicated as mental defective, or they've been prohibited because they're a felon for a previous crime, or even children, people who shouldn't have access to firearms. We want to make sure that they don't have access to firearms, but we don't want to see that the laws like these red flag laws being abused to take away your right and your ability to protect yourself.
Yeah, everything you just described was something that is either common sense and or already adjudicated. And this red flag thing, there's no adjudication whatsoever. That's the distinctive difference. Well, Mark Oliva, National Shooting Sports Foundation, man, I really appreciate your time today. That was a huge amount of input to the show. And thanks for what y'all do and Semper Fi, all right?
Thank you so much. Feels so great to talk to you. We appreciate the time to talk about it.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Go ahead and move us to a break there, Big Rig. But this is no – live free or die, y'all. If they can bring in a red flag law on your Second Amendment, then what's the next one? Red flag law on your speech? Red flag law on your faith? We'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, live free or die. We will be right back.